I'm going to do something that may shock you. I'm going to read today's primary scripture from the King James Version of the Bible.
Amen.
Micah 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now, why did I read it from the King James Version? For symbolic reasons. Because in that version, in the English translation, there are exactly 40 words. And the number 40 is highly symbolic in the Bible. It's associated with trials and testings and with judgment. And Jesus Christ experienced all of that. It's associated with the revelations of God. And Jesus Christ demonstrated all of that. It symbolized The number 40 symbolized a biblical generation, and Jesus had a great deal to say about the wicked generations. And his mother Mary said this: his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. And the number 40 was also symbolic, as it was associated with major events in the Bible. For instance, Noah was in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses lived in Egypt for 40 years, and then he lived in the desert for 40 years. And Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days. And the Hebrews wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And the spies were sent into the promised land for 40 days. And Goliath stood there and taunted the people for 40 days. And Elijah fasted for 40 days on Mount Horeb, and Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and night. And from the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the ascension of Jesus Christ was 40 days. Now, don't misunderstand me. A lot of people place too much emphasis on numerology in the Bible, as far as I am concerned. But I do believe that God often speaks in symbolic ways to tell us whatever his message is, and I believe that his choice of Bethlehem was highly symbolic. The prophecy of Bethlehem itself, that would be the place of the birth of Jesus Christ, was significant. Why Bethlehem? It was just a little place. It's only about 5 or 6 miles from Jerusalem, and yet it was here that man first saw the face of God in the flesh. Wow. There are so many other places that Jesus could have been born. He could have been born in Jerusalem. He could have been born in Athens. He could have been born in Rome. He could have been born in Alexandria. Why Bethlehem? He could have been born into a house of royalty. He could have been born into a wealthy family. He could have been born into the family of a celebrity of the day. Why Bethlehem? He could have been born in a commercial center of the time. He could have been born in a cultural center of the time. He could have been born in a political center of the day. Why Bethlehem? Like the number 40 in the Bible, I believe that Bethlehem is symbolic for many, many reasons, and I want to explore some of them. As you probably know, the name Bethlehem itself means house of what? Bread. House of bread. That is the meaning of the word. Bread was the most common food of the people at that time, and it still is in some parts of the world today, the most common food. God's symbolic message, I believe, by having Jesus Christ born in the house of bread, is that he, Jesus will satisfy all of your spiritual hunger. Jesus described himself that way. This is John 6, verse 35. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry." I thought it would be interesting to research why bread is so important to our human body. And here are some of the things that I discovered in my research. Bread is a prime source of carbohydrates, which are a main source of energy in our bodies. Jesus does that. He energizes us through the fire of his Holy Spirit. Now, what about the fiber in bread? The fiber in bread helps block the absorption of bad cholesterol in our bodies. Jesus does that. He delivers you from evil. Bread, the fat in some bread, actually keeps your cells alive. Did you know that? Jesus does that. He came that you might have life. The protein that is found in most bread is essential for maintaining your muscles, your strength, and your immune system. Jesus does that. He holds together the body of believers, and he heals your soul, and he heals your physical body as well. No wonder that Jesus was born in the house of bread, but how sad that so many people, especially at Christmas, are eating at the wrong table. They do not know the satisfaction of their spiritual hunger that you and I know. Isaiah 55, verse 2. "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." Oh, that the people around us who do not know Jesus would realize that they are starving spiritually. The best Christmas gift you could possibly give to them is to share with them Jesus Christ, who offers them all that they need to satisfy their spirits. There's a lovely story in 1 Samuel chapter 10. This is a story where the prophet Samuel is coming to anoint Saul and tell Saul that he is to be the first king of Israel. Listen to a part of the story. "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, 'Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance?'" And this is verse 3. "You will go on from here until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, and one of them will be carrying three young goats, and another will be carrying three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them." That's more bread than Saul could consume in one meal. God not only satisfies our hunger, but he gives us more than we need. Hallelujah! He gives us more than we need so that we can share it with others. Hallelujah. He came at Christmas to give you all of the needs that you have in your life, brothers and sisters. All of the needs. Whatever they are. He came to give himself the bread of life. More than you need. "Take this bread," he said, "and when you eat it, remember me." Now the prophet Micah used an additional name for the word, for the town Bethlehem. It begins, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah." Ephratah was another name for that little town of Bethlehem. What does that name mean? Ephratah means a place of fruitfulness. And boy, was that ever true. Was Bethlehem ever a fruitful place? And I'm not talking about crops. I'm talking about all of the symbolic richness of the events and the people that came out of and through Bethlehem. That is part of the answer to today's question, why Bethlehem? For instance, in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read about, in the 35th chapter, we read about Rachel. Rachel gave birth in Bethlehem, and she died there. Jacob buried her there, and her tomb is still there today on the road between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Elizabeth and I had the privilege of going into that tomb and praying. And before Rachel died, she named her little boy Benoni. Benoni means son of my sorrows. Jesus Christ became a man of sorrows and acquainted with death. Jesus is your Benoni. From Bethlehem. Now Jacob changed the name of his son from Benoni to Benjamin. What does Benjamin mean? It means son of my right hand. Where is Jesus? Jesus is at the right hand of God. That is a joyful thing. So even in the first book of Genesis, God was giving us the answer to today's question, why Bethlehem? Because of Christmas, Jesus can turn all of your sorrows into joy, whatever they may be. Jesus is your Benjamin. Hallelujah. From Bethlehem. Now let's go from Genesis to eight books later, the book of Ruth. Have you read the story of Ruth lately? If you haven't read it lately, go home today and read this wonderful story of Ruth. It was in Bethlehem that Ruth found redemption. She found redemption from her pain and from her past. You and I have pain and past, and we need to be redeemed from it. She found grace and mercy and love and acceptance. She found hope. She found a future in Bethlehem. All of that took place in that little town. And Jesus Christ offers all of that to us too. He offers grace and mercy and love and acceptance and hope and a future. What about David? We know he came from Bethlehem. David, who killed Goliath, David, who became the king of Israel, who established an everlasting throne, was a child of Bethlehem. And his is the first name that we read in that great genealogy of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, where one of the titles of Jesus is given, Son of David. There are so many symbolic examples and illustrations in the life of David, but I just want to deal with one of them. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and there's a beautiful symbolic story there. It has to do with David fighting the Philistines. The problem is that the Philistines were encamped in Bethlehem. David could not even get into his own hometown because of the encampment of the Philistines. Let me read the story to you from 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning in verse 14. At that time, David was in the stronghold and the Philistine garrison was in Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So, three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out on the ground before the Lord. "Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this," he said. "Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" And David would not drink it. He recognized the significance of sacrifice in that act. And his thirst is the same as mine. It's the same as yours. He longed for water that would relieve him. And you and I long for the same water. And Jesus said, "I will give you water and you will never thirst again." In John chapter 4, Jesus told the woman by the well in Samaria, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Out of Bethlehem came the source of life, bread and water. There are many other biblical references to Bethlehem in the Bible, and they're all very symbolic, especially the most miraculous event that ever took place there. But I want to give one more illustration, and this one is from recent history. This one took place in 1865. The Civil War had just ended in our country. The nation was hurting and divided, and now the nation was healing. And there was a pastor in Philadelphia at the Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia who decided to help his congregation heal. He wanted to take them on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And so he did. He went there to seek comfort for his people and spiritual healing. And that pastor was invited at Christmas Eve that night to go to Bethlehem and take part in the service that takes place every Christmas Eve at Constantine's Basilica, right beside the Church of the Nativity. In 1986, some of us had the privilege of making a pilgrimage to Bethlehem and seeing on Christmas Eve beside the Church of the Nativity. I will never forget that. And if you were one of those people, you can appreciate what this man and what his congregation were experiencing in 1865. We rode a bus from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. He rode a horse. I think I would rather have ridden a horse. Take the time, absorb it, hear it, see it. And he wrote a poem to describe his experience. Before the poem, he wrote a narrative, and it says, "Before dark, we rode out of town to the field where they say some shepherds saw the star. Somewhere in those fields we rode through, the shepherds must have been. As we passed, some shepherds were still keeping watch over their flocks or leading them into fold. We reached the ancient church. I stood there close to the spot where Jesus was born. The whole church was singing, hour after hour, splendid hymns of praise to God. It was as if I could hear angelic voices telling each other of the wonderful night of our dear Savior's birth. If you were there with me, you can identify." That pastor's name, by the way, was Philip Brooks. And he did write a poem about his experience, and it goes like this. "Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Why Bethlehem? Because God wants you to know that you are the recipient of the bread of life. Because God wants you to know that you are the recipient of the fruit and the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit. Because God wants you to know that you are redeemed by a man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief, but who now sits at the right hand of God the Father in glory. God wants you to know that because of Bethlehem, you have received grace and mercy and love and acceptance and hope and a future that is defined by eternity. Can you grasp that? And God wants you to know that all of your spiritual thirst and your spiritual hunger are satisfied by the bread of life and by the living water of Jesus Christ. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us life eternal out of a little place called Bethlehem. Thank you, God, for giving us a big Savior out of a little baby in Bethlehem. Lord, thank you for all of the messages that you gave to us in the Bible about why Bethlehem. And as we again celebrate and rejoice during this season of Advent, may we be renewed and restored and reminded of all that you gave to us from Bethlehem. Thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.